नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 टेक्स्ट 25 टू 28। 28 इज ऑन द बोर्ड। बिफोर दैट आई विल रीड द श्लोका एंड ट्रांसलेशन एंड शॉर्ट पर्पस फ्रॉम 25 टू 27, देन वी विल डिस्कस 28।
एतत्तेभिहितं क्षत्तो यन्मान् त्वं परिपृष्टवान् प्रचेतासां नारदस्य संवादं हरिकीर्तनम्।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पस बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। माय डियर विदुरा, आई हैव टोल्ड यू एवरीथिंग यू वांटेड टू नो अबाउट द कॉन्वर्सेशन बिटवीन नारदा एंड द प्रचेतास, the conversation describing the glories of the Lord. I have related this as far as possible. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam describes the glories of the Lord and his devotees. Because the whole subject matter is the glorification of the Lord, naturally the glorification of his devotees automatically follows.
Sri Sukha Uvacha Yayesha Uttana Pado मानवश्यानुवर्णितः वंशः प्रियव्रतस्यापि निबोध नृपसत्तमः।
सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, ओ बेस्ट ऑफ द किंग्स, किंग परीक्षित, आई हैव नाउ फिनिश्ड टेलिंग अबाउट द डिसेंडेंट ऑफ द फर्स्ट सन ऑफ स्वयंभुव मनु उत्तानपाद। आई शैल नाउ ट्राई टू रिलेट द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ प्रियव्रत, the second son of Swayambhuva Manu. Please hear them attentively. Purport.
Dhruva Maharaj was the son of King Uttanapad, and as far as the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj or King Uttanapad are concerned, their activities have been described up to the point of the Prachetas. Now, Sri Sukadeva Goswami desires to describe the descendants of Maharaj Priyavrata, the second son of Swayambhuva Manu.
Yo naradadatma vidyama adhigamya punarmahim bhaktva vibhajya putrebhya aishwaram samaghat padam.
Although Maharaj Priyavrata received instructions from the great sage Narada, he is still engaged in ruling the earth. After fully enjoying material possessions, he divided his property among his sons. He then attained a position by which he could return home back to Godhead.
Text number 28. Please repeat.
Imam tu kausharavina upavarnitam chatta निशम्य अजितवाद सत्कथाम प्रवृद्ध भावः अश्रु कला आकलः मुनेः ददार मूर्ध्ना चरणं हृदय हरे। इमं तु कौशारविनोपवर्णिता
इमं तु कौशार विनोपवर्णिता शत्तानि संयाजितवाद सत्कताम् शत्तानि संयाजितवाद सत्कताम् प्रवृद्ध भावो श्रुकलाकुलो मुने प्रवृद्ध भावो श्रुकलाकुलो मुने ददार मूर्ध्ना चरणं हृदाहरे ददार मूर्ध्ना चरणं हृदाहरे इमं तु कौशार विनोपवर्णिता क्षत्तानि संयाजितवाद सत्कता प्रवृद्ध भावो श्रुकलाकुलो मुने ददार मूर्ध्ना चरणं हृदाहरे इमं तु कौशार विनोपवर्णिता क्षत्तानि संयाजितवाद सत्कता प्रवृद्ध भावो श्रुकलाकुलो मुने ददार मूर्ध्ना चरणं हृदाहरे ददार मूर्ध्ना चरणं हृदा शत्तानि संयाजितवाद सत्कताम् भावो श्रुतो माताजी व्हाट वर्ड मीनिंग इमाम ऑल दिस तो देन कौशार विना बाय मैत्रेय उपवर्णिताम डिस्क्राइब क्षत्ता विदुरा निसम्या आफ्टर हियरिंग अजीतवाद ग्लोरिफिकेशन ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड सत्कताम ट्रांसेंडेंटल मैसेज प्रवृद्ध एनहांस्ड भाव एक्स्टेसीज अश्रु of tears.
Kala,
by particles.
Akulaha,
overwhelmed.
Munehe,
of the great sage.
Dadara,
captured.
Murdhna,
by the head.
Charanam,
the lotus feet.
Hrida,
by the heart.
Harehe,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Translation and purpose by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King, in this way, after hearing the transcendental messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees from the great sage Maitreya, Vidura was overwhelmed with ecstasy. With tears in his eyes, he immediately fell down at the lotus feet of his Guru, his spiritual master. He then fixed the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Please repeat responsively.
My dear King,
in this way,
after hearing
the transcendental messages
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
and His devotees
from the great sage Maitreya,
Vidura was overwhelmed
with ecstasy.
With tears in his eyes,
he immediately fell down
at the lotus feet of his Guru,
his spiritual master.
He then fixed
the Supreme Personality of Godhead
within the core
of his heart.
Shri Radharas Vihari Ji ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki,
Shri Gaur Nitai ki.
Purport. This is a sign of associating with great devotees. A devotee takes instructions from a liberated soul and is thus overwhelmed by ecstasy from transcendental pleasure. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj,
Naisham Matistava Durukramangrim Sparshat Parshat Anartapagamoyadattah Mahiyasham Pada Rajobishegam Niskinchananam Navrinita Yavat.
Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32. One cannot become a perfect devotee of the Lord without having touched the lotus feet of a great devotee. One who has nothing to do with this material world is called Niskinchana. The process of self-realization and the path home back to Godhead means surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master and taking the dust of his lotus feet on one's head. Thus, one advances on the path of transcendental realization. Vidura had this relationship with Maitreya and he attained the results.
Om Ajnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Sakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkrupatam Hambande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vancha Kalpata Rabhyasya Kripa Sindhabhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This portion of Srimad Bhagavatam is concluding section of Canto 4. After finishing about the conversation between Prachetas and Narada,
Maitreya Muni is concluding his conversation with Vidura. Then in the sloka 26 and 27, Sukadeva Goswami mentions about how he has finished describing about. It's a conversation over conversation. Several conversations go parallel. Parallel processing is happening. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing to Parikshit Maharaj that he finished actually the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu ending with Prachetas. And he is mentioning that now I am going to talk about the second son, Priyavrata. That's going to be canto number 5. So Sukadeva Goswami also explains there how Pracheta also received instruction from Narada. Narada is everywhere. He keeps coming again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though Priyavrata, we are not discussing or going to discuss much about Priyavrata now, that's going to be the part of next canto. But Sukadeva Goswami is giving a clue that what he is going to talk about in the next canto, in the end of the fourth canto itself. So he mentions that after receiving instruction from Narada Muni, he was completely transcendental, even though he was ruling the kingdom. And at the end, he gave up the kingdom and he attained back to Godhead. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning here in this sloka 28 about how Vidura was overwhelmed with ecstasy after hearing from Maitreya Muni. So the conversation between Maitreya Muni and Vidura started actually in the very beginning of third canto. It's a too long canto conversation. It is stated that how Vidura, not happy with the way Pandavas were treated, he went to Dhritarashtra and he said, what is wrong? You know, this Duryodhana is evil minded, even though he may be a son. Somebody goes to the father and tells the son he is evil minded, you can understand how he will feel. And if the son is hearing that, what he will feel. But Vidura was straightforward. He said, this is not the way. Pandavas are pious. You can't treat them like this. This is too much. Your evil-minded son is going to destroy everything if you don't take any action. As Vidura was mentioning like that, actually, Duryodhana came in. He said, he told his father, what is this guy doing here? Dasi Putra. He said, Dasi Putra, and he is like a spy of the enemies, and he is coming and telling what we should do. Just throw him out. If you don't throw him out, I will leave. I will throw him out with only breath left. Not even kapada, only life air. When Vidura heard that, he said, this is too much. Good instruction given to a bad person doesn't go well. That is what happened. So in this way, Vidura immediately left the place. I don't want to live at your caste. Because actually, Dhritarashtra was providing, because he was a Dasi Putra, he didn't have a share in the kingdom. But then all the maintenance were given by Dhritarashtra. He said, I don't want anything. He kept his bow and arrow. I don't even want to fight. Going to be Mahabharata, but he just said, no, I am leaving. So Vidura in this way actually left Hastinapur, and so he was on a pilgrimage. He was going to different places of pilgrimage. So he came across Uddhava. So when he met Uddhava, he said, oh my dear Uddhava, what is happening? How is my Lord Krishna? How are the residents of Dwaraka? So he was inquiring about their welfare from Uddhava. But
Uddhava was very pained because of the departure of Lord Krishna. It is exactly the time when Lord Krishna departed. It is described therein that how Lord Krishna brought all the, you know, Vrishnis, Yadavas, to the Prabhas Kshetra, and after that, he wanted to wind up his pastime. He didn't want to leave them. They were all very powerful. Nobody can defeat them actually. So he has to devise a method by means of which they can all go back to their original position. So the fight took place between the Yadavas and then Krishna was reclining. He was also going to depart. So he was reclining under a banyan tree with his feet high above. Then at the time Uddhava was there, and he knew that actually the Lord is going to depart. So in that way Lord Krishna gave instructions to Uddhava, the final instructions. And when the Lord was speaking to Uddhava, Maitreya Muni happens to be there also. He was there. You can understand the position of Maitreya Muni. He was there, right there in audience with Lord Krishna when Krishna was speaking to Uddhava. Nobody else. Maitreya Muni. So when Vidura asked Uddhava about welfare, he said, "I can't tell anything. It's too much pain." So the Lord also instructed him, "You go to Badrikashram." "So I am on my way to Badrikashram. I have no mood to tell anything. I can't speak." "You can't speak when one is overwhelmed with internal ecstasies, pain sometimes, separation. Somebody is very happy also he can't speak. Somebody who is pained also he can't speak." So in that way, but he said, "Okay, I will tell you one thing, you better go to Maitreya. He also heard everything that what Krishna spoke to me. He can tell you. You go to Maitreya, I am not in a mood to tell." So in this way, actually, Vidura, after getting instruction from Uddhava, approached Maitreya Muni. So that, from this is third canto beginning. So Maitreya Muni, after he knew that he is going to come, because these are all Trikalagyas, he knew. So Maitreya Muni is a very special person. He is the same person. He also gave advice to Duryodhana. He came to Duryodhana and he said, he actually also was a friend of Vyasadeva. Friend of Vyasadeva. He is contemporary of Vyasadeva. He came to Duryodhana and he said, "My dear Duryodhana, the way you are treating Pandava, this is not good. You better treat in a just manner. This is not correct." Same thing goes, Duryodhana is not going to hear from him. So he was so arrogant that he was, if somebody is talking to you, you look somewhere else, then it becomes like you are insulting a person. Not only that you are looking somewhere else, he was actually tapping his thigh. So that is his destiny, what to do. Sometimes Krishna was criticized, Bhima was criticized for hitting Duryodhana on the thigh, because hitting somebody below the waist is foul of the game of warfare. Foul. You can't hit. You can't hit a person below the waist. But because he offended Maitreya Muni, Maitreya Muni said that, "Are, I am talking, he is a Brahmana, great Rishi talking, and this fellow is thinking himself so great, he has no tapping, you know, as if he is the greatest person on the planet." He said that, "You are, you know, tapping this thigh, this very thigh will be broken by Bhima." So there is nothing wrong in Bhima hitting him actually. Because he has the word of a Brahmana cannot go in vain. It is simply to fulfill the words he has hit him, even though it is foul of the game. It's an exception. Exceptional case. So in that way, it is the Maitreya Muni's curse which was the lost straw on the back of this camel, Duryodhana. So Maitreya Muni, when he was questioned by Vidura, he actually talks about wonderful pastimes spanning between third and fourth cantos. He first talks about creation, difficult subject matter to understand, creation. Then he talks about how two doorkeepers, Jay and Vijay, fell down from the Vaikuntha. Then he talks about killing Hiranyaksha. Then he talks about the pastime of Lord Kapila, Sankhya Yoga. All difficult subject matter Munis can only relate. That is why Maitreya Muni is talking. Then he talks about Daksha Yajna. Then the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. Then pastimes of Prithu Maharaj. And the Puranjana story, allegorical. Then he talks about the conversation between Narada and Prachetas. So these are the pastimes that Maitreya Muni explained to Vidura in Canto 3rd and 4th. So as I mentioned, this is actually the parallel conversation going on between Maitreya and Vidura within the conversation of Suta Goswami and the Rishis of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka, which is actually within the path of the conversation of Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. So these are all parallel, so and so conversations going on. So here, in this particular sloka, it is mentioned how Vidura was completely overwhelmed with ecstasy after hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Prabhupada explains, this is a sign of associating with a great devotee. Association with a great devotee results in ecstatic feeling of the receiver. Effect, action, reaction. This is the effect of associating with a pure devotee of the Lord. So, when a pure devotee of the Lord speaks, the effect is immediate. The person who receives, he actually feels those things. So a pure devotee is a person who actually starts manifesting the 26 qualities of a devotee. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the qualities of the devotee is explained. What are the qualities? How do you understand a person as a devotee? Does it by means of looking at a person? Not looking at a person, anybody can know, nakli kar sakta hai. Imposter. Just if it is looking. In the theater, so many people put makeup and look like a policeman. Sometimes we see a poster, cinema poster. The person, villain or whatever, hero, looks like a policeman. If you see a real policeman, he may not look like, with a big belly and nothing. The real policeman may not look like, fit enough. And the cinema policeman look like, he looks like an IPS officer, He's not really. Just looking, you don't decide a person whether he is having the quality or not. He may be looking like a police, he may not have the qualification and the qualities. How does a person talk? How does a person behave? How does a person does different activity? That decides what he is. And those are the 26 qualities of a devotee. So, and those qualities, how does a person get? For a conditioned soul, who is in the material world, to start with, he doesn't have those qualities. If he has already those qualities, why he should be here anyway? He doesn't. Out of these 26 qualities, different people may manifest different qualities to minute level also. Even karmis may manifest some good qualities. Sometimes we may find somebody who is a non-devotee, he may be very humble, And a devotee, he may say, no, I am a devotee, He may not be humble. What to do? Only chant Hare Krishna. One may not have, but there is no need to worry. The process of devotional service is such that even if those qualities which are not manifested in a person, they slowly, slowly start manifesting. That is the speciality of devotional service. The speciality of devotional service is that the very process purifies the heart. Purification of heart is the most important aspect of devotional service. We may be doing so many things. I am doing this, I am doing that, I collected money, I worked very hard, I worked 18 hours a day, and I slept only 3 hours, and I couldn't sleep properly, I did so many things, Prabhu, don't you know that? At the end of the day, when balance sheet is made, what you have done, it will be judged whether your heart is clean or not. If by doing all the activities, if heart is not clean, aribol, next. No, Prabhu, don't you know that whole lifetime I worked very hard? Please, next lifetime. You work less hard, start putting more effort in cleaning the heart. Which is most important. The qualification to go back home, back to Godhead, is not how hard you worked. It is not how much money you collected. It is not that how many lectures you gave. It is not anything actually, how many temples you constructed. How much, anything you may put. How many places of prasadam you served. At the end of the day, these all activities are supposed to cleanse the heart. If these activities are not cleansed, the heart, something is wrong in doing the activity itself. We'll have to introspect. Are kidhar galat ja raha hai? Abhi tak shuddh nahi hua hai. We have to do a self-test. Again and again. Again and again. You'll have to test it out. What is happening? My heart is not clean. I am hearing from the pure devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada speaking. There is not ecstasy coming. I am not able to appreciate the message, Krishna Katha. What is going wrong? Unless one sees that. This is most important. Not how hard one works. That's not going to be judged. Krishna is not going to tell, hey Krishna, you need so many crores I collected, Please allow me to go into your kingdom. He said, no. Jao, vapas jao. Not going to work. So, the ultimate purpose, cheto darpana marjanam, that is the ultimate purpose. By all our activities, these all activities are given to us because to suit our psychophysical nature, we have a tendency to collect, okay, chalo, collect karo. So that our heart can be cleansed. No, I am very hard worker, I work like, my nature is to work hard, I cannot sit, idle, I'll have to run around, so you can run around and do something, but then finally you'll have to cleanse the heart. If you say that, no, I will not cleanse the heart, I will do everything else. Okay, keep continuing in the material world. Don't ever imagine of going back to God. Not even in dream. In the dream also, if you come, you say, no, this is wrong, how can I go back? Disqualification. If heart is not cleansed, disqualification to go back home, back to God. But, if that heart is cleansed, and that heart is cleansed, then one can actually feel the ecstasy. Number one, if you hear from the pure devotee of the Lord, it immediately gets into the consciousness. Immediately gets into consciousness. Like Prabhupada, he was chanting the holy names. And people are naturally attracted. These people have never even heard Hare Krishna in the Tompkins Square Park. Never heard. They say some Indian Swami is coming and chanting. It looks nice. Okay, we'll also dance. TK dance. No problem. And then he called them for lecture, and he had such a heavy Bengali accent. For Americans, he is talking something, and they were sitting actually. But try to understand, even if somebody sits in a place without even understanding, still his consciousness can get affected. Prahlad Maharaj was in the womb. In the womb, he didn't even come out. Still his consciousness was cleansed by Narada Muni's message. So these people, they were hearing Prabhupada, and somehow or other their consciousness was cleansed. A pure devotee, when he transmits the message, even if an unqualified person is the receiver, still he will get the benefit. What to speak of
a pure devotee speaking. Bhagavatam is so pure that Bhagavatam, even if it is spoken by an unqualified person, can purify the heart. If what to speak of a qualified person speaking. In Navadeep, Devananda Pandit, he was a Pandit, logician, scholar, and he was giving discourses on Bhagavatam. Shivas Thakur, an associate of Lord Chaitanya, when he heard that Bhagavatam is spoken, he didn't even think that this fellow is a logician, what he is going to talk about. He was not a pure devotee. His heart was not pure. Still he was speaking on Bhagavatam. He said, Bhagavatam is so pure, let me go and hear. So, Devananda Pandit was talking Bhagavatam. He was reading the sloka and then he was giving his interpretation. It is said that he was even giving some Mayavad interpretation. Actually, Mayavadis don't dare to touch Bhagavatam. But he was a Navadip Vasi and he was touching it and he was giving. And so many his disciples, everybody was sitting, and Shivas Thakur was also in the assembly. So when Devananda Pandit was reciting the sloka, Shivas Thakur was feeling ecstasy. His body was trembling, the hair was standing on the hand, and then he was crying. And the disciples of Devananda Pandit, those who were sitting, they were trying to understand the logic and all those things. And he was crying in the... Suppose somebody next to you, they are crying, then you say, hey, kya ho raha hai? Go and cry in the parikrama, don't cry. In that way, Devananda Pandit's disciples, they said, why are you creating disturbance? But he was in ecstasy, he didn't even know that he is disturbing them. So they picked him up and they left him on the street. They said, "Cha, Baharja, you are not qualified to be in this assembly. You are not properly hearing. You are crying. What is the use of crying? Crying is sentimental. We are not sentimental. We are listening to Bhagavatam and trying to understand properly what is Bhagavatam." When he found that he is on the street, he was thinking that he is in the Bhagavatam class. He was on the street because he was in ecstasy. When one is in ecstasy, he forgets about the external consciousness. He is so absorbed in the internal consciousness that the external consciousness is forgotten. He found that, hey, I am on the street. So he said, oh, I am very unfortunate, I am not allowed to hear. Then he went. So, Devananda Pandit, even though he was not a pure devotee, he has not manifested the 26 qualities of a pure devotee, still his speaking of Bhagavatam can create effect in a person who is a receiver, if he is pure. It's not that only qualification of the speaker, there is also qualification for hearer. Even if a speaker is unqualified, if a person who is hearing is qualified, still he can get the benefit of ecstatic feelings. He can taste the Bhagavatam nectar. So here, Devananda Pandit was not really qualified, quote unquote. Whereas Shivas Thakur, he was a pure devotee. He is an associate of Lord Chaitanya. He has all the 26 qualities. So even though the speaker was not having the qualities, 26 qualities of the pure devotee, because Shivas was having those words of Bhagavatam, not the interpretation. He has to read Bhagavatam sloka, you can't change the sloka. You can interpret. You can change the interpretation. You can't change the sloka. If it is said, Maitreya Uvacha, you are not going to tell something else Uvacha. You have to say Maitreya Uvacha. Even the words of Srimad Bhagavatam can create transcendental ecstasies in the hearer if his heart is pure. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, the association of devotees make a person to get great benefit in the practice of Krishna consciousness. Because by means of that association, one can actually exchange various realizations.
and those realization can help a person to advance in Krishna consciousness. So much so that Narottama Das Thakur, it is not that when somebody is a little bit advanced, he doesn't need any association. Oh Prabhu, I am quite senior, no? I am in ISKCON for quite some time. I can just be alone and keep doing my own things. Danger will be there. One has to be very cautious. Narottama Das Thakur, a great devotee, even though he can just say that he can stay alone, he says that he needs the association of Ramachandra. Ramachandra Kaviraj. Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Das. He doesn't say that I don't need anybody, no, jao, sab log jao, I'm akela rahe. No. Even the more a person advances, he still needs the association of other devotees so that he can have loving exchange. Six Goswamis, they can just stay alone, but then they used to come together to discuss various pastimes of Krishna. So, what happens in this is that, Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayanti Parasparam Bodhayanti. What you have realized, you can exhibit. Other person, oh really? No, yeah, yeah, I also got something like that. Katayantastha Mamnityam Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. So Krishna Katha is so nectarian that it can be just, you know, give great pleasure. So the devotee association is the most important thing. Sometimes people say that, oh, I am here for so long, I am getting hard time because of that, you know, this is bad, that is bad. So let me go to a place where nobody will disturb me. Disturbance is because of people. People, where there are no people, let me go there. Sometimes we will find some devotees going to Barshana and staying in one kutir, somebody going to Radha Kund and staying in another kutir, different places. When I was in ISKCON, Jew, I had so many difficulties, so many people. Now nobody is there to disturb me. Never mind. Sometimes Maya may come in different form to disturb you. If Maya comes and disturbs there, nobody will be there to protect. At least if you are in the association of devotees, even if there is an attack, other devotees may protect. That is the advantage of being in an association of devotees, being in an organization. Previously there was no organization actually, even in Gaudiya Math. People were Babaji's, before Gaudiya Math. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he didn't have any organization. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji, nobody made an organization. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati could see that Kali Yuga effect is so much, organization is required for preaching. You cannot preach without an organization. The effect of preaching can be unlimited within an organization. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati made the organization Gaudiya Math, so much so that, you know, all over India he preached, established so many mutts. On the same lines, Prabhupada established International Society for Krishna Consciousness to reach every nook and corner of this world. So, the advantage of being within the organization is that you are protected by your associates. Because it is very difficult to see one's own fault. When somebody else comes and tells you, especially if he is a well-wisher, you can appreciate it and take it. If some ill-wisher is coming and telling you, say, hey, what is the big deal? You also have that. Okay. You have your fault, I have my fault, let us go along with all the fault. Finally, at the end of the day, how to rectify the fault is the most important thing. So in the association of devotees, even though there may be some kind of misunderstanding, even though there may be, not that we may be able to get along with everybody, because everyone is coming with his own psychophysical nature. Everyone is coming into his own faults from previous life. It's not going to be very easy. But at least he'll be able to get along with some people, like-minded devotees. With that association he can go along. The process by itself gives an opportunity for the devotee to practice so that the heart can get purified. Even those so-called faults can be rectified. That is possible. No, Prabhu, in my temple there is nobody to give good class. I am not inspired by the class, you know, I have to go to some Gopi Bhav club, and that club, the lectures are very interesting. There I'll have to go and hear. Do it at your own risk. There is a great risk there involved. As it is mentioned here, the Bhagavatam itself can get into your heart if you are qualified. You know, why don't you appreciate that you don't have the qualification? We are only talking about others' qualification. It's a nature that we always try to find fault with others. Our own fault, it is very difficult to find. Here, Srivas Thakur was feeling the ecstasy hearing the sloka only. He didn't even wait for hearing about the interpretation. If you sit down and read Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is speaking. The purports are my devotional ecstasy, Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada is feeling the ecstasy and writing. Why don't you taste that nectar and get ecstasy? And that ecstasy can come when our inside is clean. When it is not clean, again and again you keep reading until it becomes clean. That is all, nothing else. Prabhu, it is not clean, kya karega? Kuch nahi hai, same cheez karne ka hai. Dusra cheez kya karega? This is the ultimate process given. Not that something else you'll have to do. No, nothing else. Chanting the holy names, attending the program, sadhana. One advantage of being in the temple is that if you are sitting alone in Barshana and if you don't get up in the morning and you sleep up to 7 o'clock, nobody will come and wake you up. Especially if your alarm fails. But if you are sleeping in the Brahmachari ashram, ashram commander, I hope ashram may wake you up. The tape will be played. Tape play hota yavi? Proper tape. The tape will be played. You have to get up, you know. There is no option for you. Advantage. Somebody will think, kya yaar disturb kar raha hai? Subah subah kyun disturb kar raha hai? Unfortunate situation. Art is so unclean that you cannot even appreciate what is good and what is not good. Somebody is trying to help you, you say that you are disturbing, you know. It's exactly like somebody is drowning. So one person is giving hand, please come. No, you are trying to push me, I think. No, I will not catch your hand. Madness. It's madness actually. It's so mad that one cannot distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. What is good and what is not good. So even the bitter pill, if you take forcefully, still it will work. That is the advantage of being in the association of devotees. One should never think, especially in Kali Yuga, the effect of Kali is so bad that there is no way without association of devotees you can actually exist in devotional practice. Not possible. Not possible at all. So, here, Prabhupada is quoting Prahlad Maharaj that how one has to take the abhishekam bat from the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Pada rajobhishekam, pada raja is the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee. You take the dust and abhishek like bath. If one takes bath with the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee, then pure devotional service is guaranteed. Definitely. And that devotee, Niskinchana. Niskinchananam navrittayavat. Niskinchana. Kinchana means having something. Kinchana. Niskinchana means not having anything. Material. He has nothing to do with this material world, even though he is existing in the material world. Exactly like a lotus leaf existing in the water, he has nothing to do with the water. He is not affected by water, so to say. So, niskinchana or akinchana, nir. Kinchana, you put nir on the front, then it becomes niskinchana. Nothing. Akinchana, also nothing. No material possessions. Akinchana. So, the becoming niskinchana and akinchana इन द मेटीरियल वर्ल्ड पीपल थिंक अरे भाई इनके पास कुछ भी नहीं है, क्या करना है इनसे. When somebody is materially disqualified, then he gets the qualification for the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna.
Janmaishwarya Shutashrivir Yatamana Mata Puma Naivarhapati Datum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam.
Krishna is Akinchana Gocharam. Somebody may be very proud of his, you know, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. All these things, by means of which person is proud in the material world. But these are all disqualification to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Material world and spiritual world are completely opposite, you know. What is qualification in material world becomes disqualification. What is disqualification becomes qualification. Ulta. Ulta chalta hai. So, how a person is advanced in Krishna consciousness is known by how he started manifesting the 26 qualities of a devotee. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says, a person will be known how advanced he is by how he started manifesting the 26 qualities of a devotee. Because they are natural byproducts of devotional practice. You don't have to acquire separately. Prabhu, now I am in the process of acquiring quality number one, you know. I will do something else to acquire quality number one. There is nothing called you just go outside the devotional practice to acquire one of the qualities, nothing. The devotional practice by itself will produce those qualities if it is done properly. Byproduct. Byproduct means you don't have to do something, it's not naturally coming out. Natural. Byproduct. So, the disappearance of anarthas within the heart, they will show that these qualities are getting manifested. Unwanted things, unwanted material things, they start disappearing. You can see the person, whether he is very much interested in possessing material things or not. When you see that he is not interested, means he has manifested the quality already. Unwanted things are going away. Disappearance of unwanted thing means appearance of wanted things. Opposite. So in this way, here, a devotee who, by means of his devotional practice, when he manifested these qualities of a devotee, he acts as good as God. He is not God. He can never become God. Sakshat Haritvena. He is Sakshat, as good as. So the devotee who is pure at heart, his entire body is purified, his senses are purified, and anything that comes in touch with him also gets purified, exactly like Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satchidananda Vigraha. Anything that comes in touch with Krishna also gets purified. We go to holy places, Dham, Vrindavan Dham. We go there, why? That is the place which actually came in touch with Lord Krishna's transcendental body directly. It is that place where Lord Krishna crawled, his entire body rubbing around, crawled. It is the same place where Krishna jumped into Yamuna and he bathed there, entire body came in touch with the waters of Yamuna. It is this place where Krishna walked barefoot. He didn't have a chappal. Paisa nahi tha, chappal ka. Chappal ka zarurat bhi nahi tha. Krishna walked barefoot. Krishna, transcendental lotus feet, when it came in touch with the dust of the Vrindavan, they became transcendental. That is how you are going there. Dham. Any place that comes in touch with Krishna's transcendental body, somewhere or the other, they become Dham. A pure devotee of the Lord, who has manifested the 26 qualities of a devotee, whose heart is already pure, is as good as Krishna. What is coming in touch with him is also getting purified. That dust that is coming in touch with the pure devotee's lotus feet, that is also as transcendental as the dust of Vraj Bhumi. That is why here he is saying that unless one takes the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, he cannot achieve devotional service. Because those dust particles, they are so powerful that they can give devotional service to you. Even though the dust is from Bombay, because it has come in touch with Prabhupada's lotus feet, they are transcendental. Non-different from the dust from Braj. Prabhupada walking on the Jugu beach, coming in touch. The Jugu beach is holy place, one of the holy places. You can list it. ISKCON holy places, Jugu beach one. Prabhupada walked there. Hare Krishna land, one of the holy places. This is holy places of ISKCON. You can make a list of things. Jugu, holy place. Prabhupada walked. Prabhupada spent so much time in making this wonderful palace for Radha Raj Bihari. Holy place. Tirthasthan. This is a Tirthasthan. So, when one comes in touch with the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, then one actually surrenders unto the spiritual master. Prabhupada explains in the purport. Also, Shaunaka Rishi, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, is also describing the same thing. Shaunaka Rishi is asking, the sun is rising and setting every day. If the time is spent without hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord, what is the value of that life? Question mark. Shaunaka Rishi. He is having the whole list of things. Very interesting. No. What do you mean? I am living, you know. Oh, you are living. No problem. Are the trees not living?
What?
Trees are also living. And you are living. If you don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the value? I said, okay. Trees are not moving around. I am breathing, you know. I am breathing, see. Prana. He said, oh really? Are the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? Blacksmith, you know, is pumping the air. It's also like, lung is also pumping the air, you know. The blacksmith is also pumping the air. What is the big deal if he doesn't know? Bellows of blacksmith is not hearing Bhagavatam. And you are not hearing, what is it? You are like bellow of the blacksmith. No, I can reproduce, you know, I can reproduce children. Are animals are not reproducing? Shaunaka Rishi. What is the big deal, you are reproducing so many? Animals can reproduce better than you. They can reproduce faster. So many species, they can reproduce like this. Bacteria. What is the value of those ears which has not heard Srimad Bhagavatam? Are they any better than the holes of a snake? Snake have got ears, they don't hear anything. Snake ears. Ear holes of the snake. What is the value of the tongue which has not chanted Srimad Bhagavatam? How better it is than a frog's tongue? Frog also, ka ka ka, they make sound. What is the value? There is no meaning to it. If somebody is wearing a nice turban, and he failed to bow his head at the lotus feet of Krishna, and that turban is just a burden on his head. Somebody comes to the temple, hey, cap nikalo, turban nikalo. When the Supreme Lord is having his turban, you can't compete with him with your own turban, you see. Hey, Krishna is wearing turban, I will have a nice turban. No, remove your turban. What is the use of that hand which has not served the lotus feet of Krishna? It is hand on a dead body. The dead body's hand doesn't do any service. Dead body. What is the use of the eyes which doesn't see the wonderful, beautiful face of Lord Krishna? They are just eyes on the peacock feather. The peacock feather, it looks like an eye, you know. They can't see. Just looks like an eye. You can't see. What is the use of the leg which doesn't walk to the lotus feet of Krishna? They are as good as a trunk of a tree. Trunk of the tree also looks like, you know, a leg. It's as good as trunk of a tree. If one hears Krishna Katha, and if one chants the holy name of Krishna, and if he is not feeling the ecstasy If he is not feeling the ecstasy, transcendental ecstasy, Shaunaka Rishi is saying that his heart is steel framed. Heart is steel framed. Heart is supposed to be muscle, you know, muscle is supposed to be soft. That is why you can pump the blood, isn't it? If one doesn't feel the ecstasy of hearing the wonderful pastime of Krishna, or by chanting the holy name, he doesn't feel any ecstasy, he says that his heart is steel frame, he has to work on it to make it soft. The whole process of devotional service is to how to make a hard heart into a soft heart. Simple. If the heart becomes soft, immediately one can have the devotional feelings. If heart is hard, you cannot have any emotions, you cannot have any feelings. You do mechanically. So how to make the mechanical process into a ecstatic process, feeling. That is all about cleansing the heart. The more the heart is clean, the more feelings one can get. The more the heart is dirty, it is as good as steel frame. If it is very, very hard, it will be high tensile steel. In steel also there are different grades. High tensile steel is very hard. So like that, different grades of hardnesses. So, the nose which has not smelled the aroma from the tulsi, from the lotus feet of Krishna, it is as good as a dead body. All the limbs are some way or other to be engaged in service of Krishna. If they are not engaged, what is the use of that limb? Shaunakar is asking. Finally he is asking, if a person fails to take the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, in the whole line, whole list of things, a person fails to take the dust from the lotus feet of the pure devotee, he is as good as a dead body. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, saying that dead body means the body in which the soul left and body is still breathing is like a ghost. Dead body is as good as ghost. Yeah, a materialistic person, he may be breathing, but it is as good as a dead body breathing. And that is like ghost. So one should be very careful about ghosts like non-devotees. Because they cannot hear about Krishna, they cannot chant Krishna's name, they can't go to temple. Can you come to the temple? No, we are very busy, you know. So busy, can't come to the temple. So all this list Shaunakara is telling, and if one cannot be engaged, which are actually helping a person towards taking shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee? Prabhupada explains, if one takes the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, then he can surrender unto him. One will not be wanting to take dust because he thinks, hey, dust of that person, why I should take? It is a dust of the feet. I am such a person, I am very educated, I am a rich man, I am this, I am that. Why should I? Sometimes people cannot even bow down. What to speak of taking the dust? Even if they are, say, religious, Hindu, so-called Hindu family, came to the temple and appreciate that going to the temple is good. And when they see devotees are dandavat pranam, are kya ho gaya, ye log kyun aisa karte hai? For them the maximum is come in front of the temple, deity. The more it goes down, that is more humble. How much, sometimes bowing also is difficult. No, theek hai. Hare Krishna, how are you? Theek hai. Tell Krishna like that. Somebody who cannot even bow his head, where's the question of him taking the dust from the lotus feet of somebody else, whom he thinks is another just a human being. But he doesn't understand that dust is transcendental. Because it came in touch with the lotus feet of the pure devotee, it became so transcendental, it can actually pave a pathway for him to surrender. Otherwise, no surrender. He cannot surrender. So, in this way, Prabhupada explains that by taking the dust from the lotus feet, one can actually surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. And by taking that shelter, one can actually make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Without taking shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a guide, a guru, it is not possible to advance. It is not possible to advance. And here, Prabhupada explains,
that Vidura was very fortunate enough to come in touch with Maitreya, who is a pure devotee. He was so pure that he can have personal audience with Krishna just before his departure. How great he must be. So, Vidura was very, very fortunate to have the association, and by just simply hearing the Krishna Katha from Maitreya, he was feeling ecstatic symptoms. Romancha Kampa Shutaranga Baju. He was feeling internal ecstasy. Body is trembling. Hair is standing on the end. And tears were coming. He fell flat and caught hold of his feet and took the dust from his lotus feet. And in this way, Vidura interacted with Maitreya. And in few slokas, we will see that Vidura goes back. He goes back again to Hastinapur to liberate Dhritarashtra. He went around. Now he is going back because he knew that Duryodhana is not there. Mahabharata is already over. Now he can go and instruct Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana will not come and disturb. So with that we can read in first canto how Vidura comes back after this. After this actually Vidura comes back home and he speaks to Dhritarashtra. Chastises him actually. He chastises him. What is he? Living like a dog. At that time Duryodhana is not going to come and disturb. Then Dhritarashtra also gets inspired by Vidura and he leaves home and he also gets liberated. We'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Mike? क्या काम चल रहा है कि नहीं रिलेटिव रखना चाहिए ना ठीक है इफ माइक इज नॉट वर्किंग माइक नहीं काम करता कम से कम और एक कार्ड वाला रखना चाहिए दो तो स्लॉट है एनीवे मेंटेनेंस डिपार्टमेंट माइक मेंटेनेंस संदीपानी प्रभु इज हियर नो क्यों गए संदीपानी कृष्ण प्रभु इज अवेलेबल अराउंड मिसिंग ओके The question is, a speaker of Bhagavatam has to be free from all vices. He should not have any bad qualities. Then he is a most qualified person to sit on Vyasasan. And we see that Devananda Pandit sat on Vyasasan and still he was speaking. And Prabhupada explains also that nobody who is not free from vices should not sit. And how is that, even though he was not qualified, he was able to create ecstasy in the heart of Srivas Thakur, right? When we talk about the absolute qualification, absolute, perfect qualification, that is what this is. One should be free from all vices, because he is actually acting as a representative of Vyasa and he should have qualities of Vyasa, you know. You can't say that I am representative of somebody, I don't have that qualities. Then what kind of representative you are? Guru is supposed to be representative of Krishna, so you have to manifest the qualities of Krishna, you know. Sakshat Haritvena. You have to manifest.
If the qualities are not manifest, still you can act as a guru, but then you should try to acquire, because different levels of guru then. Pure devotee can act as a guru also. Somebody who is not pure can act as a guru also, but is in the shelter of another pure devotee, with that shelter he is actually acting. Even he may not have manifested those qualities. It is stated by Jiva Goswami, if I am not wrong, that in a person who is not well versed in Shat Sandarbha, six schools of Indian philosophy, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, Mimamsa and Vedanta. If one is not well versed with the six schools of Indian thought, he is unfit to sit on the Vyasasana. Jiva Goswami. So there are different qualifications described for who should sit on Vyasasana. So the, as I said, the absolute quality, somebody like Sukadeva Goswami has to sit on Vyasasana, definitely that is required. Somebody like, you know, somebody, especially, one important thing, especially if the person is addressing a very advanced devotees, if the audience is very advanced, they are all very advanced devotees, pure devotee, in that assembly, a person who has not purified the heart should not dare to sit. You can see, Sukadeva Goswami, when he came into the assembly where Parikshit was inquiring from all the sages, what is that I am supposed to do? These are all the sages from all over the universe. The top class spiritualists. In that very assembly, Vyasadeva was there. Narada Muni, right there. You can imagine what kind of assembly is that. And all the great sages of that time, why will they space out? You know, they knew that something great is going to happen here. They are all there. And Sukadeva Goswami, when he came, it is said that everybody stood up except Vyasadeva and Narada. Anybody else? Except them, because Vyasadeva is his own father, you know, so it's not a big deal. So in that way, everybody stood up. And they knew that this fellow is a qualified person, so he, even though he was only 16 years old, he dared to sit and instruct him because his heart was pure. Even though they are elders by age, elders, but his heart was completely pure, so he can sit. But in such kind of assembly, if you had to put a qualification, then exactly Vyasadeva's representative should have a clean heart. But in practical circumstances, like a group of sadhakas, like we are all, if we say that we will wait for some pure devotee to come and then we will sit in Bhagavatam class, I think that there will be not many Bhagavatam classes. It will be nice, you know, so that we can space out. No, amongst the sadhakas, one sadhaka takes a seat as temporary representative. And he speaks his realization, so that whatever good it may come, it may be useful for the other. And another day somebody else, he is not a permanent speaker anyway, he's not going to, he say, I am sitting in the Vyasasana, every day I only will sit. That is Acharya. When Prabhupada was here, not that Prabhupada, when he wanted, somebody else could speak. But when Prabhupada was here, he is only going to give Bhagavatam class. There is no announcement in the morning saying that, oh, today's Bhagavatam class will be given by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, today Bhagavatam class will be by Gopal Krishna Prabhu. No announcement. Prabhupada is here, Bhagavatam means Prabhupada, Acharya. So such an Acharya taking a seat means he has to be pure at heart. But a group of sadhakas, institution, to run an institution, you don't expect everybody to be a pure devotee. Somebody may be 10%, somebody 11%, somebody 5%. Theek hai, at least we speak on some sloka and give our own realization. And whatever good we may speak, that can be useful to others. So in that way, for the practical senses, yes, we should know that one should be as clean as possible. Doesn't mean that then you keep on doing any nonsense and say that, we are all sadhakas only, you can do any nonsense, sit on Vyasasana. That should not be the attitude. But real attitude is that one should be serious enough to cleanse the heart. One should be serious enough to get rid of the vices. So in that way, practically one can do. So in the case of Devananda Pandit, how he sat on Vyasa. So, okay, the Vyasasan here, this is, even though we may call it Vyasasan, actually, Vyasa never sat here anyway. To be, you know, precise. Even Prabhupada has not sat here, okay. So many are sitting, sometimes, you know, same asana is used for anybody giving class, you know. So we call it Vyasasana because to give a class. But the real Vyasasana where Vyasa gave the message and Vyasa got up and somebody else came and said, that kind of Vyasasana is not there. So Devananda Pandit, he was guru for his disciples. So he took the role of giving Bhagavatam class to his own disciples. So whether he is qualified to give or not, in his own estimate he was qualified, so he took. But in the absolute qualification he is not. So much so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Devananda Pandit, he chastised him. How dare you, in your assembly, you threw Shivas out. How dare, how puffed up you are, you were watching Shivas being thrown out, you didn't tell anything. That is his offense. It's okay, disciples did not know who is good, who is bad, he doesn't know. If somebody sitting on Vyasa should at least know, no, hey, why are you throwing, no, leave him. At least he could have said that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him. How proud you are of your scholarship, you think you know Bhagavatam, you don't know anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him. So, in that sense he is disqualified, but in his own estimate he thought he is qualified and he was doing. So one should introspect himself and see how qualified he is. If he finds he is not so qualified, then he has to work on it. We are all unqualified to different degrees, that's all. It's a matter of how much unqualified we are. Somebody more, somebody less. We have to work on our own disqualifications. Sincerely hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, sincerely chanting the holy name, sincerely being engaged in service of Prabhupada and Radha Rasbihari. By doing so, one can slowly, slowly bring those qualifications. Otherwise, we have to be practical and go along. So we cannot put the condition that unless you are free from vice, who is going to do estimation? We say, hey, you are having vice, you are having vice, who is not having vice? It is very difficult to find. So present situation, we have to go according to what Acharya, see the Prabhupada has given us the process, having Bhagavatam class every day. He didn't say that all of you, you know, when you are all free from vices, you all can have Bhagavatam class, he didn't say. So he gave the Bhagavatam class. So as a part of sadhana, we should try to do it, so that slowly, slowly, by the mercy of Prabhupada, we can develop those qualities and the vices will automatically go away. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Bhavaji. You said in the class that one should not go to a secluded place and do devotion, and because there will be no one to guide us. But we see that when Lord Vishnu came in the 9th incarnation as Lord Gautama Buddha, he went. He himself told his chariot to go to a secluded place, and there, under a tree in Gaya, he meditated and achieved enlightenment. So this is contradictory, isn't it?
It is not contradictory. If you are God, you can do that. If you are God, you can do that. He himself went and did because he was God. He didn't tell his disciples to go and do it. He didn't give a process by means that they can go to secluded place. They also have monastery and they stay together. You go to Himalaya, there are so many Tibetan monasteries, they stay together. They don't go in one cave and do. So process given to us should be followed. That was he can do because he is God himself, he will not get disturbed. But for us, we cannot. So we have to be in the association. Yes? Some interesting question I am getting now. I am having the ecstatic feeling that some interesting question is coming.
Hare Krishna. Yesterday, Bhima Prabhu said that those who take birth in material world are all rascals, isn't it? Yeah, so we may be, our heart may be not that much clean, but then our business is to simply serve Krishna, and cleaning heart is Krishna's business, don't you think so?
Krishna should come and clean your heart?
No, but he should help us in cleaning our heart, Prabhu. Otherwise,
what kind of help you want?
Because
can
I cannot clean my own heart.
Huh?
I cannot clean my own heart.
Why? You can clean your heart. You cannot clean your own shirt. Dhobi ko de dete na. I said, dhobi, heart ko bhi kisi ko de dena. Dhobi karke leke aayega. Don't you clean your body? You don't allow somebody else to come and
there
clean.
There is a difference in cleaning your body and cleaning a heart, Prabhu.
This difference is very subtle. In cleaning your body, you are using what? Your hand. Soap. Sabun hai na? Chandrika, Medimix. You put and clean. You don't stand in front of the mirror, oh Krishna, please help me cleaning my body. No. You have to help yourself. Understand? You have to clean your body. You go to bathroom and clean your body. In the same way, in cleaning your body, you are using your hand. So in cleaning your heart, you use your tongue and your ears. Wo bhi aapka hai na, mera thodi hai. Mera bhi hai. Body cleansing, hand and soap is required. Body cleansing, hand, soap, of course water is required also. Cleansing the heart, your tongue and ear are required. You chant nicely with your tongue. You hear nicely with your ear. Nothing else needed. So what Krishna has to do now, you tell me? He will come and chant for you? So you cannot chant and he will come and chant in your ears or what? Hare Krishna. Krishna will chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What's that? Possible. Tongue. What is the use of the tongue? Shaunakari is asking if it cannot utter the holy moments of Krishna. And that tongue is as good as the tongue of a frog. Tongue is there. But if it has uttered the... If you are not going to utter Krishna's name, you will be uttering something else. Try to understand. Engaging the senses. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam, Bhakti, Ruchate. So exactly like your body, you are cleaning with your hand, soap and water. Please clean your heart with your tongue and ears. So you have the capacity. And Krishna had helped you by giving the tongue to you. Don't think Krishna has not helped you. Krishna has already helped you by giving a proper tongue. There are so many people who cannot speak, you know. Isn't it? So there are some people, because of the bad karma, they cannot hear, deaf. There are some people who are dumb. Isn't it? Some people who are blind because of the previous karma. If you have got proper eyes, if you have got proper ears, you have got proper tongue, you have got proper body, you should appreciate that your karma is good, that you got a proper body. That is already a gift of Krishna. And Krishna has given Srila Prabhupada's book to you. And he has given you, opened your eyes, and given transcendental knowledge, with which you can see what is right, what is wrong. He has given you a healthy body. At this age also you are coming to the temple. I don't even know what I will be at your age. You can come to Krishna and see Krishna's wonderful decoration. Krishna has given you eyes. Everything he has given you, whatever help you want from him now. Finally, cleansing, you have to do it. It is exactly like Krishna can give you a plate of Mahaprasad. Krishna, can you put it in my mouth also? Uska baad chewing karne ke liye bhi aise aise karna. There is a limit up to which you can expect help from Krishna. Krishna has helped everything for you to practice devotional service. And practicing, you have to do it.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you. I will clean my own heart.
Thank you very much. Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Nitai Gaurav Premanande.